I'd be glad to. Greg, the co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis also. So we got a three-man crew to navigate the latest aviation news and information here on the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. So, Ed, happy to have you along. It's been a couple weeks.
What do you mean? It seems like I just did this 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know.
But been a little busy in the flight school world.
Right. Yeah, you guys are just overloaded right now with business.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I was talking to Keith. He said that, like, last couple months, you set records.
Mm-hmm.
An amount of hours in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Other than you're very tired.
Well, yeah, you know, I've been training new instructors, and, you know, so get them in, get airplanes in. Mm-hmm. You know, just when you know, say, oh, okay, I'm going to have a couple months off of that. Oh, no, we need more because we have more customers coming through the door.
And, right.
You know, there is a finite limit to what we can do, and we have, you know, we're just trying to add to the fleet, add to the staff, so we can handle the demand. It's kind of crazy out there right now.
Yeah. Well, we need more pilots.
Yeah.
You know, that's been making even the mainstream media the mm-hmm. last week or so. We're going to talk about that a lot more. But the first thing first is that Captain Dennis got a new certification. He is now an official commercial pilot.
Congratulations.
How about that?
Thank you.
How did it go there, Dennis?
You know, it was a lot less painful than I, you know, thought it could have been. I was really prepared for the, you know, to be grilled and thought, you know, was really thinking that the check ride was going to be extremely difficult. And I, you know, it just was very, very relaxed.
Yeah. And you have Ed to thank for this.
I actually do, because I turned to Ed for recommendations on, you know, how to prep for the oral portion of the exam and what you recommend to your students. And so I did go ahead and purchase that Check Ride Ready software from Dauntless and use that to help back up my, you know, what I should be studying when it comes time to sit down and go over the, you know, the all of the oral, the rules and regulations, the airspace, aerodynamics, all the questions that they could throw at you. Mm-hmm. And so it was a good tool to use.
Yeah. Well, obviously somebody's calling to congratulate you now.
Yeah, there you go.
So I got to say, you didn't take my advice, which was to
always good.
Picture your examiner naked when you're ready to do your oral.
No, we don't want to do that.
No.
Okay, so you just focused in on the information, and you did, you shotgunned it. I mean, you said you did it in record time, right?
Yeah, when we were doing the oral prep, you know, we sat down at 7 in the morning and started going through, you know, all the paperwork. You know, you have to prove that you're eligible to take the test, and mm-hmm. that is, you know, show that you've got all the sign-offs from your instructor. And then we just sat down and started, you know, going over, like, the cross-country planning that I was supposed to do and the weight and balance and how I calculated all that. And then he'd start asking questions about the airspace and about whether or not I could do this as a commercial pilot for this particular flight if, you know, if I owned the plane or if I rented the plane or if the company bought the plane, you know, how does that all work? So I would understand, you know, what I can do and can't do as a commercial rated pilot.
Okay.
And
so was
and
it kind
of
like,
sudden it's like, well, yeah, let's go out to the airplane.
All right. So it was kind of like, all right, shut up. You know your stuff. Let's go.
Well, and that's the thing. If you're properly prepared, that's how it should go.
Yeah.
You know, and that's so you did the right stuff to get ready, and he saw it quickly, and, you know, he's motivated to get it done early too.
Okay.
Right.
See,
yeah,
my
you have to keep digging and trying to flesh out, well, does he really know or did he get lucky on this one? And
well, yeah, my approach would be to talk his ear off, you know, very rapidly and la 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 la.
But it has to be with the right information.
Oh, there's that. Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like, you know, Ed's tip paid off. So you got through the oral part of your exam with no problem. And by the way, this was which day? This was when again?
This was last Thursday.
Okay. So you did that, and you got through it, and you hopped in the airplane, and then your flight lasted for how long?
Just under 2 hours.
2 hours. Okay.
2 hours of intense flying.
A lot
flying.
Of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to do in that check ride.
Yeah. So any burps in, you know, in that process, or did you just sail through that part as well?
Well, you know, I was hoping I was going to do better in a couple areas than I did, but, you know, you take off and you head off like you're going to fly on a cross country. You know, he had you plan all that out, and you barely get out of the airport area. And, oh, hey, you know, the office just called. We need to go to Chicago now and not Omaha to go pick up one of our salespeople and bring him back. And so you have to quickly, in the air, you know, figure out, you know, how to get to Chicago. Do we have enough fuel on board? When will we be there? And thank God for the Avidyne Avionics, because all I had to do was type in, you know, KMDW, and it told me I'd be there in 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I already knew how much fuel I had on board. That part was done. The examiner was satisfied that I knew that we would be there and we wouldn't have to do a fuel stop or anything like that.
Okay. So you just set the change, and then he said, okay, let's move it back to something else now.
All right, now let's slow it down and start. Let's do some stalls, slow flight, demonstrate the maneuvers, things like the chandelles. And that's where I did okay in the stalls, and then I went into the chandelle and just kind of, oops, the first one I blew pretty bad. And yeah. I did okay on the second one, but you know, we debriefed it afterward, and he's like, you know, you did what everybody does, and you try to do everything at once, and you need to make your turn first, let the nose drop, build your speed up, add your power in, you know, do it as four separate things, and it'll work out perfectly.
Okay. Well, so when that happened, you said, don't, you know, you kind of made that, you know, you're your own worst critic. You knew you had messed up a little bit. So
right.
Did you get any reaction?
I said, yeah, that's not good.
But did you get any reaction?
We were hitting the stall horn at the halfway point of the maneuver. So
yeah, but did he look?
So we did one to the right, and it was better.
Okay,
it was within tolerances. It wasn't what I would say instructor level, but
right. But did he give you any feedback while it was happening, like a weird look, like, oh, Dennis, or did he just kind of, you know, stone face the whole thing?
No, he was very open with me the whole way, and it was a very comfortable ride. It wasn't like he's just sitting there, you know, making notes on a piece of paper and wouldn't tell me what was going on.
Yeah.
He was very interactive. I enjoyed that.
Okay. So they are allowed, Ed, to give back feedback while this is going on, like, hey, you kind of screwed the pooch on that one. Let's give it another go or what?
If he actually did poor enough that it was going to require a retest, they are supposed to notify him at that moment that maneuver needs to be looked at a second time, retested.
Got it.
Now, does every examiner follow that? I mean, that's an FAA policy for examiners. Does every FAA examiner follow that policy to a T?
Right.
You know, not necessarily.
Okay. So if you got it close enough,
they do have a lot of discretion as far, or I should say, subjectivity on, okay, what else was going on around him. Mm-hmm. You know, that they can also say, you know, I'm not sure I saw everything I need to see on that. Can you do that maneuver again? But they can't give you a second chance. They say, oh, no, go ahead and try it again. That's what they can't do.
I got you.
Once again, if they're following their rules exactly the way the FAA wants them to, whether or not every pilot examiner does that, you know, we all probably could get, you know, half a dozen customers listeners to chime in and say, yeah, they did that, or no, they didn't do that. But they're all trained to do that. Let's put it that way.
Okay, fair enough. See, now if I was asked to do that, so as okay, perform a chandelle right now, I'd be like, do up, diddy do up.
No, that's the chandelles.
It's not the same thing.
Not same thing.
And I'd get that look from them.
We actually should have had Tom on with us this week too to talk about commercial maneuvers, because he's such a fan of them.
Yes.
Yeah, I had that conversation with him. I emailed him after I passed the test. He's like, yeah, that's not my kind of flying, is how he summed it up.
Yeah, that was one of those, and why do we have to do this again? I'm never going to do this for real.
Mm-hmm.
He was challenged by some of the maneuvers, but he did fine. He did, like I say, he definitely was not enjoying them as much as some people do, but he did them very well.
Just to clarify, for people that don't know, like me, I mean, no, I should reverse that. They know, but may not know what a chandelle is. What is that exactly? Of course I know.
It's a maximum performance climbing turn. So you take your airspeed, you convert it in 180 degrees of heading change into altitude. Kind of like you flew up a box canyon and it's like, oh crap, I can't overclimb that. You do the climbing turn around to get above the rim and headed back the other direction.
Okay, kind of like a Tom Cruise move.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is.
All right. Well, so it was fun. So
fun. Don't get me wrong, but they're also stressful, because you know there's a way to do it, and you know the idea is that you can gain 500 to 1,000 feet of altitude in that turn, and you come into it at just over 100 knots, and you come out of it with the stall horn on. So you're demonstrating to the examiner that you can fly this airplane from cruise speed all the way up to the edge of stall, maintaining perfect control the entire way, coordinated. and you know you're aware of exactly what the airplane's doing, and you're able to hold the altitude, the heading, and the pitch, and all of that stuff through the entire maneuver.
If
and
you that's sang you do it. A Chandelle song while you're doing the maneuver, isn't that extra credit?
Sure,
I say go for it.
Distraction though.
Yeah. Well, it depends.
With your voice, Greg. No.
Well, I guess it depends if you're tone deaf or not. It might work against you. All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Need to replace that old Garmin? Need a new GPS for your plane? No matter what you fly, Avidyne has you covered. Since 1994, Avidyne's been a market leader in the design of intuitive displays and avionics. The mission has always been to use innovative technology to improve safety and increase aircraft utility. Go to Avidyne.com to find a dealer in the solution for you. That's Avidyne.com or call 1-800-AVIDYNE. Avidyne. For pilots that know the difference.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I'm getting pretty good. Just trying to figure out these landings.
Increase altitude.
It always says it. No, I'm trying to land.
Terrain alert.
I know
terrain
there's alert. Terrain. I'm trying to terrain land
alert.
On the terrain.
Terrain alert. Pull up.
I will
pull
not.
Up.
I am my
pull
own
up.
Person.
Pull up. Terrain alert. Pull up. Terrain alert.
Damn it.
Landing unsuccessful.
Yeah, I saw you, freaking dog.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Dennis. We can officially call him a captain now, right? Or, he was a captain before, but now he's a commercial
captain. I was
an honorary
captain before, but now I've actually earned it.
Okay. I mean, because as long as you're the pilot in command, you're a captain, right?
That's
Ed?
True.
Well, I mean, a private pilot's pilot in command.
Yeah. So everybody's a captain.
You could get your captainship if you ever got your private pilot. Oh, okay, that might be stretching it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Perpetual flight student in training.
Well, you'd actually have to do some training for that to even apply.
Well,
right?
I'm working on it. Just shush. Let's just focus on you for once.
Oh, okay. So for once we're not focusing on Greg. It's not all about Greg.
Yeah, I want.
Can we mark this on a calendar somewhere?
I want to celebrate his success today.
Okay, let's talk about Dennis.
I'm in a very much of a giving mode and very much want to distract from my own personal.
Yeah, that's
fault.
Exactly. It's about distracting from him not getting
distract
it
and deflect.
Yes. Here, look over here. So the Chandelles were giving you some issues, but you did it.
How'd the Lazy Eights go?
How about
the Lazy
those?
Eights are a blast. They are fun. You know,
they're,
it's just such
Mooney,
a laid back. You just, you know, pitch the nose up a little bit,
in.
Let and put it into a little bit of a roll.
Yeah.
The airplane just slices through the horizon and pops back up on the other side. They were just, I could have done them all day long. It was fun. You know, and that's where I started to settle down a little bit, I think. I got into something I was good about it being fun and
What about those being fun?
The lazy eights were the ones he hated the most.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, as a flight trainer or instructor like yourself, Ed, what is the most difficult skill in a situation like that, you figure?
Well, the finesse of the lazy eight and having it as smooth as Dennis is talking about and coordinated, that gives a lot. The two maneuvers that are usually the weakest on most people's commercial flight tests are going to be the lazy eights and the 180 power off landing. Those are the two that give them the most trouble.
So usually the Chandelles are
cakewalk. Not a cakewalk, but they usually take to that quicker than the others.
And what about as far as the order of the you know, when he tests you, when the flight examiner tests you, are you supposed to do, you know, lazy eights before, vice versa?
There's no rhyme or reason. They'll have their own pattern. They have to develop a pattern, and then they have to change the pattern, so it's never they've got like six scenarios they're supposed to be able to
got it. But Dennis, in your case, I'm wondering if maybe at that point, by the time you got to the lazy eights, you had to calm down a little bit. The initial nerves of doing your flight test may have subsided a bit. You know what I mean? What do you think?
It may have. And then just the fact that it was a maneuver that I was comfortable with and could demonstrate, you know, hey, look, I really do know what I'm doing and, you know, I should be here for this test. See, look what I can do here. And, you know, it felt good. It just was comfortable. That airplane does that maneuver extremely well, too, which is nice.
Yeah, it does. I've done commercial with people in Moonies, and it is beautiful for that maneuver.
Okay. So the model of plane can play to your advantage.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. What, as far as other, you know, in the air type of you know, elements that you had to execute, any other give you fits one way or another, good, bad?
Not really. You know, surprisingly to me, the one thing that, you know, I had practiced up on the day or two before the test is I went out and practiced all the landings, practiced the power off 180s, and the weather gods decided to play a little trick on me on my check ride. They gave me clear skies, no clouds, and no wind. And you know what that does happens to your power off 180 practicing that you'd done? It's all out the window, because all of a sudden you have no headwind to deal with, no crosswinds, and I almost overshot, but I made it.
That was when you actually did it, or when you were training? Yeah.
No, when I did it on the day of the check ride, we had no winds. So, you know, you're supposed to be on downwind, and you pick a spot in the runway, let's say the 1,000-foot markers, which is what I used, and you pull your power back to idle, and you land the airplane on that mark. No power. So you have to manage your energy, make sure you're turning early enough that you don't wind up short, and that you don't wait too long or, you know, turn too close in and wind up, you know, overshooting your mark. So then, you know, you're adjusting. Do I need to slip to get it down? Do I need to pull the prop lever back to try to stretch the glide out? You know, do I want to hold the gear up a little bit longer to, you know, so I don't sink as much? And it's all managing the energy. And they want to show that you can get down safely onto a particular point on the airfield, you know, simulating that you had an engine out emergency and, you know, you've got passengers now. That as a commercial pilot, they want to make sure that you can safely land that plane.
Sure. How close were you to your spot, you figure? You know?
198 feet, and they give you 200.
You measure that with a tape?
I sure did.
So when that happens, I still wonder, are you getting any positive or negative feedback from your examiner? Like, when you did that, you knew you got it.
I was my own worst critic.
Well, I'm sure.
But I knew I was running long, and it was, you know, all of a sudden whipping it into a slip to get that thing down and, you know, try to lose the altitude. And he even commented, he's like, you haven't practiced these in no wind before, have you? Happens every time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what Greg's looking for here is he's looking for the banana.
Yeah.
Because back to the, you know, if we can teach him to fly, it's like teaching a monkey to fly.
Right.
And
He's looking for
that type of affirmation from the examiner on check ride day.
Right.
Every time he does a new maneuver, he gets a piece of the banana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What he doesn't realize is that examiner doesn't give you the banana until you're all done. It's an all or nothing.
Well,
yeah,
that's what I'm wondering. But while it's going on, he's not giving you much feedback. Like when you think you've nailed it, you don't look over at him going, hey, Give
no,
me a
but you kind of get an
nothing.
Idea. Okay, that's enough of the lazy eights. Let's move on over here. We're going to climb up to 6,000. Let's do a steep spiral. I want you to spiral over the runway numbers at this particular airport. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of nice because he was telling me where to go instead of, you know, making it my job to find a suitable point and do a spiraling descent down, you know, get three turns in, simulating we had to get on the ground in an emergency or try to descend through a hole in the clouds to get underneath. You know, so that was a little bit different way of doing the maneuver, but it worked out great because, hey, it's pretty easy to see those runway numbers underneath me.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you do the power off 180, okay, so you do that, what is that, a stop and go type of thing, and then you got to go around some more or what?
Yeah, well, we did a total of 5 different landings during the whole thing. So okay. 4 landings where we actually touched the ground, and we also had to do a go around. So, you know, we were just about to touch down. He's like, go around. I need, you know, so you got all the flaps and the gear out. He wants to see that you can pull full power, get the airplane cleaned back up, safely climb up to pattern.
All right. So this is all to get your commercial pilot's license. And the ultimate goal for you was to take me flying, but now you can charge me. Is that
right?
Is that what it was?
Good luck getting money out of
Damn
him.
Damn you! Okay. No, he won't charge me, will he?
Yeah, we'll find out when I get there.
Yeah, I guess so. Dang it. All right, more coming up.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Ed. We are celebrating the captain certificate for Captain Dennis today. Congratulations to him. And I don't know, Dennis, what's next? What are you going to do with this new cert?
Well, my whole goal of getting the commercial was so I ultimately could get my CFI. I'd like to become an instructor. I've got kids that are, you know, in training in college. I've got a daughter that's coming up and wanting the solo gliders and wants to be able to fly our Mooney. And so if I can do that, that's great. I know a certain radio host that could use a little help. So maybe.
Well, Ed, do you have your commercial license?
Yes, I have my commercial.
Oh, okay.
I have my airline transport pilot.
Ah, yes. All right. Well, so what advice would you give him? Would you say that's a good career path?
Well, I don't know. You're not talking about it as a career path, are you?
No, this is simply more for me as a hobby, and also, you know, so that I can do some volunteer work within the community. Our high school started an aeronautics program a year ago, but they're not taking kids out to the airport. They're not offering ground schools like that. Yeah. I could offer to do that and be able to get some of these kids perhaps interested, motivated, show them an airplane, take them on a flight, mm-hmm. and, you know, be an instructor and be available for them as a mentor, if nothing else.
Okay, or you could take someone like me with special needs.
Yeah, no, he needs a lot more experience to do that.
Does he really? No.
Yes. No, why do you think you worked with me?
Because you're the best.
Because it took a special
I'm trying to brown nose right now. What are you doing?
That's why you're going to fly with Keith next.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm done. No. But, no, I think it's a great idea what you're talking about doing, because the industry needs people like yourself who aren't necessarily airline bound, but they have a passion for aviation. And, you know, I did get out of full-time teaching for a while and tried to, you know, sell computers and do other stuff. But I still kept teaching on the side because I enjoyed it. And basically got to the point where I just didn't want to do anything but, and got back into it full time. You know, so having somebody that is there, that wants to do it, that, you know, you might not be able to do it the same schedule, but you're going to be more committed to the customer. I think it's great.
He's doing it for the love of flying and sharing.
Yeah.
The love of aviation with his friends. I like it. More coming up.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain. Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You can't fly.
No, but until I can, I have to set up for piloting a plane. Let's do it. Come on, Bernie. You can't ground this eagle. It needs to soar. You know I can do this.
We've come this far. Don't you be scared now. Cause you can learn to fly on the way down.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed, flight training professionals. And the newly anointed captain, or commercial captain, Dennis. So now he can charge me when he when we go for a flight.
Yeah, I've got some recommendations on rates to charge, Greg.
Really? One beer or two?
No, I was talking about double of what you charge everybody else.
Okay. That would work, too. All
two
right.
Times nothing, still nothing.
Yeah, that's right. So
he's just going to use Keith's credit card, so what does it matter?
Right.
I will tell you, you know, last week or so, I've been kind of, I was out of circulation, even seeing the news, because I was underwater catching Florida spiny lobster.
Mm-hmm.
Ed knows this. Florida lobster season's open. I've been doing some diving. And it's funny how you'll go through a couple day period like that. I don't see any news. And the world changes in an instant these days, you know. And I get back. And I start talking to Dennis about, hey, what are we going to talk about this week? And he says, well, let's talk about the Horizon airplane thing. And I'm like, huh?
What?
Yeah,
what?
I didn't see anything about that. And then as soon as he said it, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I did hear something on the radio. I think actually I heard it on Howard Stern, believe it or not. And he was talking about.
That's responsible.
Yeah, I was just like, maybe this is an old tape or something. But that's what he was talking about. And it was what. So what happened? Some guy went on the was it a small airport this happened, or where was
it? No, SeaTac.
The big airport in Seattle.
Tacoma International Airport.
Wow. Okay, so what exactly happened, Dennis? I know you were tracking this.
The way I understand it, it was an airline employee, so he was badged and had every reason and right to be there, but he helped himself to a turboprop regional airliner and took it for a little joyride around the Puget Sound area.
Mm.
The Air Force had to scramble F-15s. Air traffic control obviously was diverting aircraft away from where he was because they didn't know what his intents were.
But from what I heard, he had learned how to fly the plane by what, just doing a computer simulator, and he figured he could get as far as starting the plane up and taking off. He didn't have the landing part down, I hear. Is that right?
Yeah, well, we don't know exactly what his supposed training was. You know, when he was talking to air traffic control, which was amazing. I mean, this guy was actually talking to air traffic and telling them what was going on. And, you know, he said, well, I don't need any help. I've played a lot of video games. So, you know, use flight simulator to do this? Was he, you know, on the ramp enough or working with maintenance that he's seen engine runs and seen the process of how to start it? I'm sure we'll hear more in the coming months, but, you know, he basically took off without any authorization and joyrided the airplane. And then when he was all done, he crashed it into an unpopulated island out in the Puget Sound.
Yeah.
Thankfully, like, nobody but him was injured.
He sounds like he had a plan, I would think.
Well, and he sounds like he had some problems, too.
Well, of course. Duh. Yeah. Hello.
But,
yeah.
You know, it is. It's not a good thing when anything bad happens, but you know, this in particular, it's going to cause some changes in the industry, more likely.
Yeah, I would think. Obviously,
do y'all remember the club?
Yeah, you need to put one of those on.
Yeah, there's going to be a club on every yoke.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't they already have the cockpit door? You know, are we going to have to lock it now as soon as the crew leaves the airplane?
Well, but then the mechanics still have to get in and do maintenance runs and things like that. So, you know, and they're going through the same background checks to get the badge to get on the airport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's it.
Could have been way worse.
Yeah,
in all reality. So that was the part, actually, I heard Howard talking about, like, oh my gosh, this happened. Just think if, you know, he would have done something really terrible, and how could this happen in the first place, you know? And, you know, it's frustrating because, you know, when you are a perpetual flight student in training, you don't want it any harder to become a private pilot. And these kind of incidents.
That's just going to be your new excuse.
Well, no. I'm just saying, I don't want any more hoops to have to jump through, but there's a good chance this kind of crap will cause another hoop to be put in the way, you think? I mean, it's interesting.
Rules are written with blood on them.
Well, the news has been going so quickly. I haven't heard a lot of talk about it since it happened. You know, and when Dennis told me it happened like the day before, and
yeah.
I heard a little bit about it, but it, you know, the news cycle has already went through, so maybe it'll go through and we won't hear a big stink about it. But
then
I don't
why
know.
Are we talking about it?
Well, because we are just plain radio and we have to do this kind of stuff.
I'm kidding.
Right, but NTSB will probably bring it back up in another month or two once they do.
Yeah, there'll be a preliminary report, and then a year or so down, there'll be a
I think it'll be pretty easy to figure out what happened.
Yes, but they'll come out with a report, and then they'll say, okay, here's what we got to do to make sure this doesn't happen again, and what might that entail, and will that infringe on the rights of general aviation pilots to make it tougher for them in any way. This was a commercial airport, though, so like you said, maybe it won't.
Believe me, the airline industry will probably try to push it off as a problem with GA.
Well, of course they will.
Because we are the bad people in the industry, and they can do no wrong.
Not to make them look bad at all, but which airline was it? Do we know?
It was Horizon, which is a subsidiary of Alaska Airlines.
Ah, okay.
Which is a very good airline.
Yeah, they got good ratings.
Yeah, I mean, actually just a lot of people that work for them. They're a very good airline.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that is an unfortunate situation. But like I said, I missed it because I was down there catching lobster. I was in South Florida. Yes, and I got to tell you.
The first thing I asked him, Dennis, when he came back and told me he was coming back from a second trip going lobstering.
Are you bringing
some
back?
Did he bring me any? No.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for mine.
No, I went down there and I ate it. I caught it and I ate it. That's what you're supposed to do. And, my only complaint was that Dennis didn't come. Because he would have saved me like a 4-hour road trip each way.
Because he would have been flying you down.
That would have been 8 hours I could have spent on the water catching more lobster, and then I would have had lobster
around,
to bring
Greg. Now,
back.
If you would have followed through with your training, you would have had your license, and you could have flown yourself down there and saved 8 hours and not made it someone else's problem.
No, let's not do that.
Hey, I'm just trying here.
Reasoning doesn't work with him,
Dennis. Of course
not. Think about it.
Yeah.
Rational thought.
But,
no.
If you flew your Mooney down here, we could literally airlift Florida Spiny Lobster Tail back to Captain Ed and Keefe at Flight Training Professionals. You would encourage such activity, would you not, Ed?
I would encourage that.
See? So that's the way we should spin this,
mm-hmm.
is that,
I love to eat lobster when I didn't have to work for catching them.
Yeah,
half the fun of the lobster is catching them.
It is a lot of fun.
I never had any luck with that.
They
but
taste.
I only did it on my certification dive. So
you're not allowed to do that. Oh, did you really catch a lobster on your certification?
We saw some.
You saw some. You didn't catch them.
We were done with the skills after the second dive.
You're not allowed to catch lobster on your checkout dives. That's against diver rule.
Well, the dive instructor was going after him, this one girl that came with us.
The dive instructor shouldn't have done that either.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You were not trained properly, my friend.
I don't care. The last time I dove.
You obviously didn't do very well because she didn't give you the congratulatory lobster tail, did she?
No.
Okay. See, and when you're diving, it's not a banana. It's a lobster tail. She shouldn't have done that.
The instructor was a guy. There was just one of the guys that was with us. His girlfriend came along.
She
was already certified.
And she grabbed the lobster.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you could do that then. Yeah. But they were out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
it was right this time of year. It was right before I moved to Cincinnati that one year. So we were right there in the lobster season.
See, all this talk of lobster, and it's making you hungry. Your mouth is watering right now, isn't
it? Well, it is dinner time. Lunchtime, at least.
He's an early eater.
Okay. Lunchtime, at least. I haven't had anything since breakfast.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, fresh spiny lobster is in season right now. So we got through.
Start warming up the butter, Greg.
Yeah. Well, you just got to fly the plane down, and we'll do an airlift. We can pick up 6 a day, so that's 12 lobster.
I got a new cooler to put them in.
Yeah, between Dennis and I, and we can bring them back.
Sounds like a party.
We'll eat 10 and give one to Ed and one to Keith. The smallest. No. But that would be another excuse. When is it going to happen? When are you going to fly your Mooney down?
I just have to look at my work schedule. I've got a couple customers down in your neighborhood, and I'm going to try to work in a couple site visits so that I won't have to take as much time off of work, and we'll try to figure it so we can get a weekend trip down to go see Captain Walt and go hang out with him and catch some lobsters and maybe even go across to the Bimini for fun.
Yeah, we could do that. See, I like the way this is evolving, despite
well,
the fact.
I want to knock some bucket list things off, and well, this is how we're going to have to do it.
Well, and if you come down, I mean, even though I don't have my flight certificate, I can still train in your plane, and, you know, I mean, if I crash it, I know
you.
You
can touch the controls, maybe, but you can't train in it.
What?
I'm taking the left seat.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, but, I, you know, we could have some fun. Like, here, do some crazy eights.
Chandel.
And Lazy Susans and
Lazy Eights.
Long Island iced teas or something. Wait, I'm mixing up.
Yeah, you're mixing stuff up.
See, I'm not a pilot yet.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
$6 in my right nut says we're not landing in Chicago.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals and the newly certified commercial Captain Dennis, celebrating big time this week because he just got that certification. So how did you celebrate? Did you rip your shirt off like your first flight, first solo flight, and wave it in the air like you just don't care or what?
No, actually, I was really lame. I actually had to go back to work. I took the morning off, and then I had to go into the office.
Oh.
Is there supposed to be
just another day?
Is there a thing like that?
A tradition? No.
There's no tradition. That's only for your first solo where you rip your shirt off
They cut the tail off of your shirt. They don't rip it off.
Cut the tail off, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we should start a tradition. I think that would be, you know, your commercial pilot certificate. That's kind of a big deal, isn't it? I mean, that's like your first, you know, first
certification. Well, you're going from being a private pilot to a professional pilot at that point. You know, things have changed. The standards are now higher.
At least at the bare minimum, you should have worked up some kind of victory dance or something that you videotape or have your kids videotape and throw up on YouTube.
I think the only time there's going to be a victory dance is when Greg gets his private pilot
certificate. Yes, I'll be doing one.
I think we all would be doing that one, but I think it's a pretty safe bet that we don't need to worry about that for a while.
No, work on your moves. It's going to happen. It is going to happen.
I don't know about that.
I got to get through the lobster season.
It's over. Isn't it?
It's always another.
Goes to the end of March.
The season just started, Craig.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it goes all the way through March?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We got a lobster
to eat. I must
have
just been down in the mini season then.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it was only a couple days. Yeah.
No. The regular season's now open. It opens like, you know, around the 1st of August, thereabouts, and then is open through the end of March. But hopefully, I mean, I'm planning to get into the plane and fly. He's going to fly down there. We're going to do some practicing.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
My newly
back to what did Dennis do to celebrate? Because Greg would do a happy dance. But what did you do, Dennis?
Well, after we got done with work, then my daughter and I planned a trip. There happened to be a fly-in breakfast up in northern Minnesota at an airport that we used to frequent quite a bit. My in-laws used to have a seasonal RV slip or RV spot up north, and so we would occasionally go fly up and visit them. Mm-hmm. Well, it was their Civil Air Patrol fundraiser and pancake breakfast that weekend, and so good excuse to go out. So my daughter and I got a nice little hour-long cross-country each way and had some hot cakes. So we had $100 hotcakes.
$100 hotcakes. I've heard of silver dollar pancakes, but $100 hotcakes, that's a new one.
Yeah.
That's a new one. You know, it's upscale.
Hopefully you got free seconds or something. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. It was, whatever you wanted to eat, whatever you could eat, and a free will donation, and all that money went to the Civil Air Patrol. So I thought it was a good cause. And the funny thing is we actually got to meet up with some friends of ours from the campgrounds up there. So we actually bumped into people we hadn't seen in a while.
Well, very good. So did you tell them about your newly, commercial certificate and, you know, bragged a little bit?
Yeah.
Have you hit anybody up and said, hey, I'll take you for a ride now, and that'll be $150?
I'm not going to charge for rides. That's just not.
You can.
I don't want to get into that.
Why not?
It's just easier to just say, hey, let's go fly. If you want to,
pitch
in
true.
For some gas, that's fine with me. But I just want to encourage people to fly, and I've offered, many, many people rides. So.
Okay. I understand that. But you could, charge them if you wanted and then give the money to me. I mean, I'd be happy to act as your agent or booking, your booking agent.
Okay.
For Captain Dennis's commercial.
Do we need to get into the rules of what you can and can't do as a commercial pilot?
Yeah, what can he not do?
He can't charge people to fly if he's providing the
airplane. I can through him, can't I?
No.
Can I can't act as his representative? I can't be his booking.com.
If he carries passengers for hire, he needs to be an air taxi operator, which takes a lot more experience and special certification for the company.
So what can he do then with this now?
He can become a flight instructor, get paid to be a flight instructor. He could go and somebody could pay them to fly their airplane and go somewhere. He can't provide the airplane and the pilot. Think about this.
Okay.
Okay. Uber.
Yeah.
You call Uber, you hiring the driver and the car or just the car?
Mm.
You go to Enterprise, what are you getting?
A car.
You get a limo, what do you get?
A limo.
And what goes with the limo?
A driver.
A chauffeur.
A chauffeur. Yeah. So you hire a limousine, you rent a car.
Mm-hmm. So
by him, say if he brings the airplane and him, that's for hire.
Okay, so if he rents me the airplane and then says, hey, I'll fly it for you.
There are some legalities there.
Yeah.
You have to lease the airplane from him, and he has to give you operational control of the airplane during that time period, which means you get to make maintenance decisions and things like that. So he actually signs his airplane over to you, and then
you could pay him
to fly it.
That's not happening.
He'll lease it for $1.
There is no specification on the number.
See?
But
I like how these numbers work.
But what? Once again, that lease agreement has to be registered with the FAA as a dry lease.
Hmm.
So there are hoops to jump through. But even then, like I say, it comes down to, is he providing you with the airplane and the pilot?
Okay. Enough.
And so the fact that he owns the airplane, they would probably frown upon that. Now, if I owned the airplane, leased it to you, you could then say, hey, come fly me here. That would be legal.
All right, I got $1. Let's make it happen.
I'm not going to lease you any of my airplanes for a dollar.
I got a free lobster. Free lobster tail.
Nope.
If I catch one.
Nope.
Might not catch one.
guarantee me 100 hours a year, and we'll charge you about $300 an hour.
100 hours a year, and it's one lobster tail per 100 hours.
No, it's got to be cash paid up front.
Lobster tail. I mean, we're dealing in lobster tail.
Notice how he's just backpedaling here.
Yeah, I'm trying to appeal to your stomach.
He's trying to figure out how he's going to get that onto Keith's credit card.
Exactly.
Way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Absolutely.
And that sounded awkward, so let's just end. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.